We come to our scripture today, and we move from Gospel of Matthew to the Gospel of John, first chapter, verses 29 to 42. And it talks about, picks up with John the Baptist right after Jesus' baptism, and John's continuing testimony, and the arrival of the invitation of the first disciples. And so we pick it up from the first chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched, Jesus walked by. He exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to Jesus, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" Jesus said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him all that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated meaning Peter or rock. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, we pray that in the midst of this gathering this day, your presence would not just be felt, but would move among us to touch our hearts and our minds, drawing them closer, ever closer to you, your promise for our life, your provision for our situation, your protection. Lord, may these next moments be precious in your sight. In Christ we pray, amen. Some of you may have gone to one of those big box stores recently, and you know, when you walk through the aisle, some of us like to kind of wander around, but it's kind of hard because they find you coming through the door, and they come right over, and they want to know, "Can I help you? What are you looking for? Is there something? What can I help you? What are you looking for?" And if you're like me, there are times when I really look forward to that because it saves me running around. I'm always trying to remember, is this the store that's laid out this way, or is this the store that's laid out that way? And I just get used to one store, and I drive to another place, and it's the same label on the outside of the store, but you walk in, and everything is different. So there are times when I really do appreciate that. What are you looking for? And then there are other times when maybe it's just maybe we'll call it sinful nature, I don't know, when I just say, "No, I don't want any help. I'll find it myself." Because sometimes, and I think this might be a guy thing, I'm not sure, I'll claim it anyway, I don't know what I want till I get there. I think that might resonate with a few of you all. And sometimes, in the midst of finding what I was looking for, I found some other things I needed as well. But I think it's an important question for us. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? John's testimony today, he says, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He points to him. Now remember, John's whole life has been pointing. He He's like the big compass in my theology. Jesus is coming. Get ready. Be ready. This is a baptism of water for repentance. Be ready, for the kingdom of God is near. The Messiah is coming. He comes after me. He comes after me, but he was before me. Testimony to the fact that the Son of God, who was in the very beginning, before anything was created. Gospel of John goes on to say nothing was created but came out of creation with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All was with God at the beginning. He comes after me, but he was before me. I came so that he might be revealed to Israel. John had a very important part of this process. He was to be the front man, I call it, the point man. He was out announcing to the world that we had to get right, that our relationship with the Father, with the Creator, our relationship with an almighty God was messed up. And God was coming in a unique and new way. And we need to be prepared for that. We need to get ready. We need to be washed and ready for this new expression. I came so that he might be revealed to Israel. And then he goes into what I was trying to tie in with the young people. And then, and I saw, firsthand testimony, John saying, I saw the Spirit, as he was lifted up out of the water, I saw the Spirit of God alight on him like a dove and remain. It just didn't come and then flew away. It remained. The Spirit of God remained and stayed. And I didn't know, but it was told to me by the one who sent me. You see, John had recognized that voice. This is your mission, John. Your goal, unlike the original Mission Impossible, it didn't come in a tape in a phone booth. Your goal is to go out and to announce to the world that the Messiah is coming. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is on his way, but you have to be ready. It's going to happen. It's going to be upon you before you know it. And so his entire life was about preparing the people for the arrival of Jesus. And I saw, I was there, and so I shared. And so I said, look, here is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. It's a phrase that we hear so often. And it's tied directly back into Old Testament. We had a picture before service started. Can you throw that lamb back up there? Everybody, you ever had a chance to play with a lamb? They're so cute and cuddly. And they're all, see, look at that little innocent little lamb. And they're white, you know. So it's like the sign of purity. The Old Testament. Well, we know that if you go back and look at Leviticus, there was a penalty that had to be paid, a price that had to be paid for sin. And that price was paid through the priest. And you would come offering an animal sacrifice. That was one of the highest ones, the highest forms, a lamb, spotless, without blemish, perfect in every regard, couldn't have an inconsistency. It had to be pure. And the innocent blood of that lamb was shed on the altar. And that was a temporary covering for the sin of the individual who brought that forward. Now, of course, back in that day, there were different levels of the animals that were brought forward. That was a very expensive offering. We know Mary and Joseph had doves, pigeons, I call them. The poor had not enough money to be able to, but were still tied into a system where we had to make recompense for the sin of our lives. For disobeying God has penalty, and that penalty must be paid. Some of us have still difficulty, even in 2020, talking about sin and penalty. I went back and looked at some of the Old Testament. You look at Leviticus 4, verse 35. It was always set up as a temporary covering for our sin. Why? Because our sinful hearts, our sinful nature, found another way after we had made atonement through the blood of an animal. We'd be back doing some other evil thing, some other wicked thing, some other way to hurt our loved ones or people around us, some unequal activity whereby others would be hurt. And so we'd find ourselves back at the temple again, offering another sacrifice because that penalty, that sin had to be atoned for. Romans 8 tells us, the law was unable to save us. Why? Because we had a sinful nature. It's part of that original a consequence of disobeying God back in the garden. And so we tried to be good. I mean, I remember growing up as a youngster. I always tried to be good, but it was not in me to be good all the time, every place, everywhere. And I'm not talking about big things. Sin is anything that separates us from God and that righteous relationship that God intended for us from the very beginning. And while it's uncomfortable for us to hear about sin, it's a reality, even in 2020. It saddens me that we have to have reminders of the rampant racism that we still have in our society today. Those were eloquent words by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. so long ago. It's not the outside. It's the character of our heart that makes a difference. And yet here we are, not just this community, but in general, humanity, certainly this nation, still arguing and disagreeing over the value of a person's worth. Thanks be to God that the Bible makes it very clear that all are loved by God. It doesn't matter whether you have hair, doesn't matter what color skin you have, doesn't matter whether you're short and tall, big, small, whatever. And yet we still live in a nation that in some ways still has some very large sins upon its hands. And the way of dealing with that in the Old Testament was blood. The blood sacrifice was a temporary covering for the sin that had been acknowledged and must be paid. Revelations 12:11 talks about the they overcame he who was in the world by the blood of the Lamb. We remember the Passover, the blood of the Paschal Lamb on the doorposts, so that when the Spirit came across and killed all the firstborn, those who had the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts were spared. There was a penalty for the sin that had accumulated in our lives. So when John is identifying Jesus as the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world, it's tied directly into all of Israel's understanding and culture. This is the sinless one, the absolute perfect Lamb without spot or blemish, who comes to take upon his shoulders the sin of all humanity, not just Israel, but all humanity for all time in a permanent way, not just a temporary way until next week when we have to come back and admit all the bad things that we've done again. This is the priceless nature of Jesus. He's come to take away our sin. He's come to show us what living in right relationship with God the Father looks like. And we say, well, it can't be done. We're human. Oh, no. Jesus was human, fully God, fully human, but he shows that it's possible. It's able to be done. And through his sacrifice, he separated us from that proclivity. He separates from the power of sin and death. We still get tempted. Of course we do. But now we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us to be able to say, no, I'm not going to go that way. God would call me to this other direction. So John has come to share, this is the one. He's after me. I was born first. I'm older, but he's much older. He was back in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. He was back in the beginning of creation. And he has come now that he would be the Lamb, the perfect Paschal Lamb, sacrificed for our sins, for all humanity, even though he himself is totally without sin. So we get back to the question, what are you looking for? Jesus runs across some disciples, or they're not disciples yet. They're disciples of John. And he asks, what are you looking for? And I think that's the kind of question we need to ask ourselves even today. What are you looking for? Are you looking for a teacher? Well, Jesus is a good teacher, but he's far more than that. Are you looking for a prophet? Well, Jesus fulfills that role too, but he's far more than just a prophet. Are you looking for a priest? Yes, Jesus is a priest on the high order of Melchizedek, but he's far more important to our lives than just a priest or a prophet or a teacher. What are you looking for? Are we looking for things that are so small in our understanding? Are we able to reach out? Are we looking for meaning for our lives? A relationship with Jesus provides the deepest and strongest sense of meaning for who we are, whose we are, and what purpose our life has. Are we looking for peace? Well, you can't have peace without a relationship with Jesus. It just doesn't exist. He's able to share the peace that passes all understanding. Are you looking for healing? He's the healer of Galilee. He healed diseases with a word. He healed diseases with a little mud and a little spit. I don't know of no other person ever to do that. He heals because he has the creative power in him. The fullness of God was pleased to dwell in his human form and come to us as Jesus. Who are you looking for? Well, I'm looking for wisdom. Can there be any greater wisdom than God the Father? Infinite. Oh, there are people who give you some wise ideas. There are people who can guide you in little ways. But if you're looking for the source, why would you be interested in an intermediary? Why don't you want to go directly to the source? Are you looking for family? God has adopted us as his own blessed children, sons and daughters of the King. You may have other earthly family, but to be adopted in by the King of creation. You may be looking for wealth. Well, Jesus talks on it at some length. You have to be careful. Wealth comes with some other temptations. And it's possible to be wealthy in ways that don't involve money, isn't it? It's possible to be wealthy in families and relationships in ways that have very little to do with dollars and cents. What are you looking for? You're looking for mercy? You're looking for compassion? There is infinite levels of mercy and compassion with the Lamb of God. He who comes to sacrifice himself to live for us and to die for us is the greatest expression of God's love. So often we sit here and we think, well, if I just had a little bit more of this, or if I'd had just a little bit more of this, my life would be just where I wanted it to be. If I just had, you know, pick a number. If I just had $100,000, if I just had a vacation home, if I just had this, then my life would be okay. And we know how fleeting all that is. Those are not truisms. But a life with Jesus, even though you're penniless, can bring you peace. A life in relationship with Jesus can bring you connection in a way that no other earthly relationship can. You can be separated from all those you love and still be at peace. And when they're returned in relationship, you're truly thankful and you can move forward. So when he asked those first disciples to be, what are you looking for? You notice they didn't answer, did they? But in a unique, typical way of Jesus, he offers an invitation. John has already identified him as the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. And so he asks the disciples, what are you looking for? There's no answer. And what he says to them, come and see. Come and see that those I am with are lifted up. Come and see that the broken in my presence are healed. Come and see that those who are downtrodden and lost and lonely are lifted up, are reconnected. Their lives become new and refreshed. It's not about change in your life. It's being about transformed from the inside. There's something totally unique about this Lamb of God who comes to give us his life that we can move from just barely existing into a life that's filled with joy. We have troubles and trials, absolutely. But we're rock solid because we're connected to Jesus. Who are you looking for? Jesus brings infinitely more than just change. He brings transformation. Love changes us from the inside. He brings forgiveness. He brings identity. He brings purpose. He brings family. He brings location for where we are and a destination for our future. He brings hope. Oh, yes. And he also already knows all about us. Can you imagine walking in, meeting Jesus for the first time and says, oh, yeah, you're Simon, son of John. We haven't been introduced. I know all about you. At that moment, Jesus already knew he'd be the one to deny. He already knew all of it. And nothing was held back. His love for Simon was completely available from that moment forward. In fact, God had loved Simon even before that. That's the power of a relationship with Jesus. What are you looking for? Of all the things you could have in the next year ahead of you, have you set your sights too low? Have you said, if only I could do this, then I'd be happy? Why would you set at a lower elevation? Why not go for the absolute best, the perfect solution? It's a relationship with Jesus. And make that the top priority of your life. Because if that relationship is solid, if that relationship is working, if you're real before the Son of God, everything else will work out. And even if it doesn't work out, you'll find out it doesn't matter that much. The Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world, he paid the ultimate price so that we could be permanently free from the power of sin and not have to go back again and again and again. Oh yes, forgiveness is available, but he's broken the power of sin in our lives. And as we acknowledge and come before him asking for forgiveness, he's the first one to say, of course, rise and don't go that way anymore. What are we looking for? I pray that we're looking for a robust relationship with the Son of the Most High God, begotten, not made, a gift to us to show God's love in the flesh, to show that this relationship is real and that his love for you has no bounds, even to give his own son so that we could be free from sin and worship him the way we were created to. I pray we're looking for the right things in the year ahead. I pray we're able to leave the rest of it alongside of the road where it needs to be, or maybe in a trash bin. There's many challenges. There's many trials ahead. But those who are in Christ know that ultimately, he's victorious. It'll be okay. His word has promised it. Let us pray. Lord, help us to travel through this day and through all the days to come, recognizing that what we need most, what we want, what we desire most in our innermost heart is a persistent desire, a yearning to grow closer to you. Lord, we may have known you for years now. We may have declared our love for you and our willingness to follow after you time after time. But maybe it's time to rethink that and to rededicate ourselves, Lord. And the truth of it is we don't have to be at some high mountaintop. We don't have to even be at the altar of the church. We could be in our pew right now and open our heart in a way that says, I've been playing at this for too long. It's time to get serious and recognize you for who you are. Why am I satisfied with all these lesser things? The greatest desire of my heart for the year ahead, for the time you've given me, for the blessings you've showered me into my life, is to be known by you, to be in you in every moment, to desire you more than any, and to follow after you as you've called your disciples down through the ages. Come and see, and let our words, let our testimony be added to those who've come before us. Oh, look, taste and see how good is the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. May it be so. For your glory in Christ we pray. Amen.